from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I've had a chance to look over these Epstein documents. And it's disgusting. It's horrible. It's sickening. But the one good guy in all of this, if you're looking for the Lone Ranger, if you're looking for the guy who did the right thing, his name is Donald J. Trump. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have all of you with us today. And we have a lot of ground to cover. By the way, we have a very special guest coming up later on in the show. Florida House Speaker Paul Renner is going to be with us. He is running for governor, and we're going to be talking to him about the campaign and what it's going to take to keep Florida as a red state. Also, we're going to be talking with Tennessee state lawmaker Monty Fritz. He's going to be joining us later on in the program as well. He, too, running for the Republican nomination for governor in the state of Tennessee, has some stiff competition. Senator Marsha Blackburn running in that race and Congressman John Rose. So, again, two very important red states, and we need to make sure that those red states stay red states. Also, Josh Jones is going to be along, a very disturbing story about not only what's happening in Virginia, but also in Alabama, where they found well over 3,000 illegals on the voting ballots. Let me explain that to you again. The authorities in Alabama discovered that more than 3,000 illegal aliens were registered to vote in the state of Alabama. That's insane. Also, and this story breaking, and Fox News has the story, there will be investigations on Capitol Hill as we now understand that an untold number of non-citizens have been allowed to vote in Detroit, Michigan. They have also served on jury pools, and they're not allowed to do that, which leads to all sorts of questions. And you now wonder, will some of the verdicts, the jury verdicts, will they be rendered, will they be thrown out? Will mistrials be declared? Will they have to go in and discover exactly how many illegals were serving on jury pools in the state of Michigan? All that to say, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of news today, but all that to say that if it's happening in Alabama, which is one of the reddest states in America, you better believe it's happening in every state across America. And what is it the Democrats told? The Democrats have told us from day one, there's no way illegals can vote. There's no way non-citizens can vote. Well, now we're understanding the truth, and the truth is very, very ugly. Now, I want to talk about these Epstein documents for just a moment. And we've got the new intel. Those of you that are watching us on our social media streams, I'm actually holding up the actual DOJ documents. And for you folks listening by radio, that's what the documents sound like. A former Palm Beach, Florida police chief who investigated Jeffrey Epstein in the mid-2000s told the FBI that he had received a call from Donald Trump saying, "Thank goodness you guys are stopping him," talking about Epstein. Everybody knows that he's been doing this. So the ex-police chief sat down with the FBI in 2019, and the Miami Herald was the very first news publication to report on all of this. So you've got the media, and now the media is like they're weeping right now. Many of them are in the fetal position because they truly believed that once these documents came out, that Donald Trump would be exposed for the predator. No, it turns out that Donald Trump is the hero in all of this. Donald Trump is the one who called the cops on Jeffrey Epstein. Now, President Trump has repeatedly denied any knowledge of Epstein's crimes and said that he cut off contact with his former friend more than 20 years ago. Trump claimed that he booted Epstein. I'm reading from ABC News. It's not that he claimed, he did boot Epstein from Mar-a-Lago after discovering that he was poaching employees from the club's spa. The police chief's name is redacted from the document on the DOJ's website, but the information in the FBI statement tracks with previously public information about the chief's role in the investigation that began in 2005. Detectives were investigating Epstein for allegedly recruiting girls as young as 14 years old to provide massages that turned sexual. Now, the information about Trump's alleged call makes up just a small part of a four-page document summarizing the police chief's testimony in 2019, 2 months after Epstein's death. Donald Trump told the chief that he threw Epstein out of his club. Trump called the Palm Beach Police Department to tell him, "Thank goodness you're stopping him. Everyone knows that he's been doing this." This is all in the FBI documents. The alleged call came from Trump in July of 2006, around the time the details of the police investigation became public. Trump told him that people in New York knew Epstein was disgusting. Trump said Maxwell, talking about Ghislaine Maxwell, was Epstein's operative. Quote, "She is evil," and encouraged police to focus on her. The report continues. Trump told the police chief that he was around Epstein once when teenagers were present, and Trump, quote, "got the hell out of there." Trump was one of the very first people to call when people found out they were investigating Epstein. The account of Trump's alleged call, as summarized in the FBI document, had not previously been reported. So, look, where are we at with all of this? I know the president is very upset that these documents were all released, primarily because I think there are people that, as the president said, who are innocent, who were mentioned in these, or at least allegations were made, and the allegations were unfounded. And we've talked about that over the past weeks. I don't want to terribly dwell on this. But again, the media narrative here is what has just blown up. And that's, for me, that is the headline here, is that once again, Donald Trump has been proven to be the good guy. Now, the other part of this, and this is where I'm just curious, because all of this I find incredibly disgusting and sickening. It's just sickening. One of the files, and there are unredacted files that members of Congress are going and looking at, and Laurie Boebert got a first glance at them last night, and she is just enraged over all of this. But one of the unredacted Epstein files reveals a sickening revelation about a 9-year-old child. One of the youngest victims, just 9 years old. The disclosure came after Congressman Jamie Raskin, the Democrat from Maryland, and several others spent hours inspecting the trove of documents yesterday. Lawmakers try to investigate how the well-connected financier was able to sexually abuse underage girls for years. Mr. Raskin said, "You read through these documents and you read about 15-year-old girls, 14-year-old girls, 10-year-old girls." It's sickening. He goes on to say, "I saw mention of a 9-year-old girl. I mean, this is just preposterous and scandalous," reading from the New York Post report. Congressman Thomas Massie, who I just find to be a reprehensible lawmaker, but on this issue, I believe he's spot on. He said that he had seen a reference to a senior foreign agent government official who was apparently in the convicted pedophile's circle. He added that he'd come across the names of 6 men that have been redacted in the release files that are likely incriminated by their inclusion. Massie is now calling on the DOJ to pursue accountability and did not rule out that he would expose them himself by naming the men in a House floor speech where his actions would be constitutionally protected from lawsuits. Now, that's where our stopping point is for just a moment here. Should we name everybody that's in those files? If these people are in fact guilty of crimes, or at least accused of heinous crimes against children, should they be charged? If there is evidence of crime, should they be charged? Should their names be released? Should they face some sort of a penalty? Here's the problem. A lot of this stuff, these are allegations. I mean, they had one in there about George H.W. Bush. And I mean, it's just ludicrous. But they're saying that, you know, George H.W. Bush was involved and that Epstein was involved in cannibalism. I don't believe that. Do you believe that? I don't believe that. So there are a lot of weird things and things that are just so absurd that it's just impossible to be true, some of these allegations. Or is it possible? Now, again, there were multiple redactions lifted late Monday. This is part of a bipartisan effort, Democrats and Republicans accusing the DOJ of improperly blacking out names of possible co-conspirators. I want to know if people in Congress are named in these files. I want to know that. And the reason I want to know that is I want to make sure that these people have not been manipulated. Are these people being blackmailed? Is that one of the reasons why they're refusing, the Republicans in the Senate, is that one of the reasons why they're refusing to advance President Trump's agenda? Are they being blackmailed? Does somebody have something on them? Because when you look, because none of this makes sense, right? None of this. Let's just take the SAVE Act for just a moment here. This is legislation that over 80% of Republicans support. Overall, across the entire nation, 73% of all voters support. A majority of Democrats, a majority of minorities support having some sort of voter ID to go and cast a ballot. And yet the Senate Republicans refuse to budge on this. And they will tell you all sorts of excuses. Oh, by the way, they had talked about doing some what they call a shadow filibuster. They're not even doing that. Thune says now they don't have time. And what did I tell you? That's why I have been pushing them and pushing you to call your senators, because I knew they would play the clock game. And now they're saying, well, they may not have enough time. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't get this done, we risk losing the Senate and the House in the midterms, and then it will never get done. But again, what is the reason why? Is it because John Thune is obstinate, or is it because somebody has something on the Senate majority leader? And these are fair questions to ask, because nothing else makes any sense at all. And trust me on this, the Democrats, if they get control of the Senate, they will nuke the filibuster and they will drive through their agenda. That's how that's going to work. So anyway, we'll take your calls on this. Again, should we release these names? If the members of Congress know who they are, should we know who they are? Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Losing weight's getting harder and harder as you get older, and it's not your fault. You're eating better, you're moving more, but your body isn't responding anymore. The harder you try, the less progress you see. And I am just like you. I've been dealing with this, and recently I made the call to PhD Weight Loss, and it's changing everything. I've been on the program for a week now, already dropped 3 pounds. Feel better than ever. PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss, and they fix the root cause. And it isn't as simple as counting calories. Your body is much more complicated than that. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year's special. Book your consultation. It's free. It's personalized. And it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900. Or visit myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Todd sent you. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. So what is it they've been telling us? That ICE agents are, what, Nazis, modern-day Klan members, and they're intentionally targeting black and brown people all over America. Is that pretty much it? Have we? I don't think I missed anything there in that description, but basically they're calling them, like, you know, Jim Crow, Southern sheriff's deputies running around, and they're intentionally targeting only black people and brown people. As a matter of fact, there was a headline in Memphis, Tennessee, that only 4% of the people arrested by the federal agents are white. And they said, what should we make of this? Well, it seems to me that maybe 96% of the white population is law-abiding, I guess. What do you want me to say? But the idea that they're just going around there targeting black and brown people is ludicrous. And to that, I bring to your attention this headline. Several Irish citizens detained by ICE in U.S. sought official help. So there have been some people from Ireland that are living here illegally, and they've been captured by ICE agents. One of them, his name is Michael Martin, said the treatment of people at ICE facilities was a concern. According to the Irish Times, one of the individuals who sought help was Seamus Culleton, an Irishman living in the United States for more than 20 years. He's been held by ICE since being arrested in September. He described his experience as a torture and appealed to the Irish government to raise his case with Trump during the St. Patrick's Day visit to the White House next month. Culleton's case was reported to the Department of Foreign Affairs, reading from the Irish Times. Late last year, Martin telling journalists he'd only been briefed about it on Monday, he said the government was considering how it can talk to Trump's administration about the case. Here's an idea. When the guy flies in to, I don't know, Andrews Air Force Base, wherever, Joint Base Andrews, make sure there's a spare seat on the Irish Airlines, and you can take that guy back home with you. Now, I did a little bit of research here, and it turns out, ladies and gentlemen, that more than 50,000 illegal Irish immigrants live in the United States right now. And that most of them are, dare I say, what's the word I'm looking for? Lily White. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Lily White Irishmen. They're arresting white Irishmen. Oh, my word. So here's the deal. If you're in the country illegally, you have to go back to where you came from. And you know what? I originally had most of my anger directed at all of the people that were breaching our borders and coming across. That was where most of my wrath was being directed. But the more I think about it, the more angry I am over the illegals who have been here 10, 15, 20, 30 years. They've had ample time to get themselves legal. They've had ample time to make them righteous before the eyes of the United States of America. They've had plenty of time, and yet they have chosen not to do that. And honestly, there's no excuse. There's no excuse at all. And that's what angers me, is these people knowingly live their lives as illegals, and they've done nothing about it. That bothers me. And by the way, they're putting their families in danger. They're putting their wives or their spouses in danger. Because one day there is going to be a knock at the door. And they talk about living in the shadows. No, they're not living in the shadows. They're hiding in the shadows. They're hiding because they know what they're doing is illegal. So, yeah, I am a purist when it comes to this immigration issue. Everybody has to go back to wherever they came from, and they can come here the legal way. You've been given opportunities, and by the way, this Irishman was given the same opportunity that everybody else was given to self-deport, and they did not do it. And you may say, well, Todd, they own pubs and all. Yeah, that's great. How did they do that, by the way, without a Social Security number? How is that working out? How did they get the liquor licenses? I have lots of questions. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So yesterday we played you this audio from the Texas State Rep. His name is Gene Wu, and he doesn't like all you white people out there. Mr. Wu from Texas, he's the minority leader of the Democrats there in the House in Austin. And he said that all of you white people are oppressors and that there are more minorities than there are white people, and payback is a coming. I mean, that was the gist of what he had to say. So now there is a pastor out there who's saying that God doesn't like MAGA. And I want you to listen to what the pastor had to say from the pulpit.
Come on, Public Enemy. I came to tell white supremacists. I came to tell MAGA. I came to tell white privilege. We coming, we coming, we coming. We coming, we coming. God said, when you give me glory, I'm going to run them out of the State Department. If you give me glory, I'm going to run them out of Congress and run them out of Senate. If you give me glory, I'm going to run them off of your job and run them off of your classroom. I need you to take your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, we got to shout like we got faith.
Oh, my throat hurts, Dylan.
He gave it everything he got.
He just like, wah, wah.
I thought he was growling for a second. But
it was. And then this, he sounds like he has some sort of a throat condition.
Just clear it, you know.
Can I ask you a question? I mean, you're a white guy.
It's true.
I mean, do you feel like we've been marginalized? I think we've added a lot to society.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I feel pretty good about myself, so I don't feel too bad.
I mean, we did found the country.
Yeah, yeah, at least.
We whipped the Indians behind. I know that's politically incorrect to say, but
yes,
we sent them packing.
Yes,
and we beat the British and the god awful French.
Yeah, that was good. We did beat the British.
So all I'm saying is, I think we've contributed a lot. We've made biscuits. I think a white guy made that.
Probably. I don't know if we made the gravy, but we definitely made the biscuits.
Mayonnaise. Yeah. I think we gave the country and
saltine,
white bread, saltine crackers, yep.
Whiteout.
We gave people whiteout.
Mm-hmm. What else?
I'm. Give me a second.
White paint.
I think that's polar bear. No, eggshell white. Eggshell white.
Eggshell,
which is different from polar bear white.
Yeah.
We get. I've got it.
Yeah.
Country music.
Country music.
Country music. That's it.
Indeed.
And Muzak. Mm-hmm. Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yes.
I don't see anybody else coming up with an Engelbert.
You're so right.
Do you?
No, Engelberts coming up with.
Maybe a Shanae, but no. We've got Engelbert. We got Liberace.
We have a lot to be proud of.
We do. Oh, we've got the Zuckerberg. He gave us Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so right.
So I don't understand why people are always like, you know, crushing white people. We've added a lot to society.
And while he's growling at it, it's like we're food or something.
They call us the enemy. By the way, there's a new survey out that says, guess which demographic is the least racist group in the world?
You want me to guess?
Yes, guess.
White people.
White people. Yes. We're a very tolerant bunch. I'm just telling you. By the way, this report out, a study finds that 29% of Hispanics misclassified as white in criminal records. Well, that's a problem. Also, according to Wikipedia, they wrote this about the Caucasian race. And for those of you, that's the official terminology, people for the Caucasian persuasion. All of you white people out there, you honkies. You crackers, or as we prefer to be called on this program, saltine Americans. According to Wikipedia, the Caucasian race is an obsolete racial classification of humans. Jeez, they've already written us off, Dylan. You know, the problem is we're not out there, our people aren't out there having babies. And you know who I blame for this? I blame the Catholics and the Mormons. I mean, you guys were like having like 7-8 kids. I mean, you Mormons, you had all the singing groups. All the kids could sing and play an instrument. You gave us the Osmond brothers and Hanson, Mbop. Well, there are only three of them, so that was a warning sign. Hanson was the canary in the coal mine. We noticed that the Mormon singing groups, the Mormon family singing groups, were shrinking.
Yeah.
We should have known.
We had so many babies that they made TV shows for us.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, we did have the anomaly was the Waltons, and were the Waltons Baptist? I think the Waltons, somebody's going to call in and tell us that, a little bit of trivia, but on, you know, on Walton's Mountain, they had, you know what, 7 or 8 kids, and then these little urchins would come along, you know, when the older kids were not cute anymore, you know, the TV producers had to, like, you know, get little kids, you know, new kids, so they were always adopting people and whatnot. But all that to say, that white folks are just not procreating as much as they used to. And I don't know why that is, but, you know, there are some people, there are the anomalies. Oh, who's the family out of Arkansas that has 78 kids and counting? The Duggars.
The Duggars.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell
you. Some things went wrong, but, you know.
I mean, it's,
that's what happens when you have 20 kids.
I figured since I already crapped all over the TPUSA halftime show, I may as well just go all in.
You're already in the hole. You might as well keep digging.
Just go all in. I don't either. Anyway, all that to say that, look, I mean, you've got, I think this Mr. Wu here from Texas, he was spilling the tea, as they say, that ultimately they're going to put you, white person, in your place. I mean, I guess I appreciate the guy being honest about it, but it's a really sad situation. But again, such intolerance in this country right now. And it goes back to something I said yesterday. This is what happens when you've taught an entire generation of kids critical race theory, that white people are bad and white people are responsible for every problem you have ever had in life. And that is going to lead to a very bad time. And I think we're starting to see, we're just beginning to see that develop here in the country. 901-260-5926. Oh, McDonald's, white guy, two white brothers.
Great example.
Thank you very much.
Doesn't get much better than McDonald's.
Popeye's Fried Chicken and Biscuits, a white guy. I know that's really? A shocker. Yes, a white guy.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Love that chicken at Popeye's.
Yes, we do.
I'm just saying. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Golf? I think we created golf. We'll take it. We're going to make a list. No, you got to be proud of your people, right? You got to be proud. I mean, look, we're in the middle of February. This is Black History Month. Everybody's saluting everybody. So we got to get a couple of folks in there. Engelbert and Liberace. And Minnie Pearl, Grandpa Jones, those are our people. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. By the way, our telephone number, if you'd like to call in, and you can do that, we are a caller-driven show. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. So I want to play some audio. This is from last night on our Newsmax show, the Todd Stearns Show. And we had Congressman Mark Harris on talking about, you know, all the hullabaloo surrounding the Super Bowl halftime show. And just really the state of the spiritual warfare that's happening in our country right now. Let's take a listen to that. Well, joining me now is Congressman Mark Harris, a Republican from North Carolina. Congressman, good to have you with us today. All right, what say you? Did you watch any of the halftime shows?
Well, I did, Todd. I figured at some point today I would be asked about it, and so I did. I will admit that there was part of it at one point that I just had to turn away. My wife and I said, I cannot watch this anymore. And so it was just disgusting, parts of it, no doubt. And really to see flags from other countries that were flying, to see the things that were taking place in that show. And really, I'll be honest with you. I looked at my wife at one point and I said, you know, why they think that this is somehow winning the hearts and minds of Americans. I said, really, anybody that's part of the Make America Great Again movement, this only fires up the base. And so I don't know. It was disgusting. I thought the president, a few minutes later, we saw what he put out. I think he gave a very accurate review and once again was stating for everybody what everybody was thinking.
You know, President Trump called the performance a slap in the face to our country. Is that how you felt?
Yeah. I felt the fact that I kept listening and thinking, what am I missing here? And because nothing was in English. And I kept thinking at some point that he was going to switch over, but it never did. And so you didn't know what he was saying. You could only see the actions, as vulgar as they were. And it left a very poor taste in my mouth, for sure.
Well, there was also a very clear political message woven through all of this. Bad Bunny says, ice out. President Trump is saying we need some illegals to work farm and hotel jobs. I don't know about that, Congressman. I believe when we say deport everybody, we need to be deporting everybody. What say you?
Well, I do believe that the president is continuing to try to fulfill the promise that was made. You know, this is a multi-step process that I think we've all known from the beginning that had to take place. There had to be the first step to secure the border. And I mean to tell you, the president has done a yeoman's job of making sure that that has happened. And the border is secure. I feel confident in making that statement today. The second step was to deport the criminal illegal alien. And I do think that most Americans believe that that was going after those with the criminal record, criminal background that were here. Now, we all understand that anybody that has come across the border illegally is here illegally. They've committed a crime by how they came in. But I do think it was also clear that the president was going after the worst of the worst. As we saw things in cities across this country, we saw what happened out in Colorado and those apartment complexes, those gangs. We've seen the number of murders. So they have been trying to target the criminal illegal aliens. And in the process of that, anybody they have come across who is here illegally has been deported. I think that continues. But I also think there's a third step in the process, and that is coming to some point at some place that we're able to look at where we are in with immigration and reform our numbers, reform our laws. I don't know what those numbers are going to be, but we've got some great programs here, like the H-2A program that helps those that aren't in the agriculture industry. They need to be brought here the right way, the legal way, but there is a lot of conversation that is going on for how we can do it and build off the successes that we've already had.
So the question is now, do we double down here? Because there are some within the administration that say we need to back off. The White House needs to go easy. We need to have a softer touch. That language coming from the president. But what do you say, ladies and gentlemen? CNN has a fascinating survey up, and they've discovered that an overwhelming number of Black Americans actually support voter ID. Take a listen.
Take a look here. Favor photo ID to vote. 85% of white people favor it. 82% of Latino. 76% of Black Americans favor it. So the bottom line is this. Voter ID is not controversial in this country. A photo ID to vote is not controversial in this country. It is not controversial by party, and it is not controversial by race. The vast majority of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj that, in fact, you should have a photo ID to be able to vote.
I never thought I would say this, Dylan, but I agree with Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, what a time we live in, right?
I may have to download some of her music.
maybe be cautious there, but she's good.
You know what happens though with these artists that are out there? These we call them in the Christian lingo, uh-huh. We call them the secular artist.
Yes,
you know what happens? They'll make an album of hymns, right? Because yep. They want to reach. So Nicki Minaj may like Nicki Minaj sing Southern gospel.
She may pull a Kanye, is what they.
It's a great gospel song. I thank God for the preacher who scared the hell out of me.
There it is.
It's a great song.
Hey, she could come up with a remix of that.
Well, she could.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know.
I'd listen to it.
Right.
There's like a rap section or something.
I would too.
Yep.
I would love to hear Nicki Minaj rap the classics.
Come on. Nicki, if you're listening.
Nicki Minaj raps the Baptist hymnal. I love that.
The whole thing.
The whole thing. Just... We could like a three-volume set.
Yeah.
Sell it on QVC.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all over that.
Grammys.
Okay, what were we talking about? I have no idea what we were in. Oh, yes. Back to the voter ID. So hear me on this, ladies and gentlemen. This is an important point. So 76% of Black Americans support voter ID. 82% of Hispanic Americans support voter ID. So what's the problem in our Senate, on our Senate side, controlled by the Republicans? It goes back to the very first question I asked. Are the senators being blackmailed? And I know that sounds so ludicrous and it sounds so conspiratorial, but I can't figure it out. There is no downside to this at all. An overwhelming number of the American people, both Republican and Democrat and independent, believe that we ought to be able to show an ID to go and vote. And yet Senate Majority Leader John Thune says, no, we're not going to vote. We don't have time now. What do you mean you don't have time? You've had a year and 2 months. The House of Representatives voted on the SAVE Act over 300 days ago. So what do you mean you don't have time? No, sir, you had time. You just chose not to use your time wisely. So the question is, why? It doesn't make any sense politically. There is literally no political downside here. Everybody supports it. As a matter of fact, there's an upside. Not only does everybody support it, but the upside is once you show an ID, there's a very good chance that Republicans will start winning elections where those elections were being stolen by people showing up with no ID, people cheating, people who were not qualified to vote, casting a ballot. There's only an upside here. So something is going on, and somebody has something on John Thune and the Senate leadership. Either that or John Thune is a closet Democrat, and he wants us to fail. And I'm curious what you think about that. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls in the next hour on that very issue. All right, coming up, we have the Florida Speaker of the House, Paul Renner. He's going to be joining us from Florida. He's running for governor, and he is a good guy. So looking forward to having a conversation with him. Also, Josh Jones, a Republican strategist, and Monty Fritz, a state representative running for governor in Tennessee. He'll be joining us as well. And just a reminder, folks, head over in the break and go check out ToddStearns.com. You're going to love my column. I have a new piece up on Andy Ogles. It's a doozy. We'll talk more about it when we come back. 901-260-5926. That is our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, hello everyone, Todd Starnes here with you. A new photograph has just been released regarding the search for Savannah Guthrie's mother. And this is just a completely weird, weird story. Anyway, a new photo has been released, and the photo shows an armed suspect on Nancy Guthrie's door camera. That's what it shows. Now, she's been missing now. A Nancy Guthrie, 84 years old, she's been missing since the night of January 31st. That's the last time anybody had seen her. The FBI releasing surveillance photos of the subject in a statement with the Pima County Sheriff's Department. The FBI says the images show an armed individual appearing to have tampered with the camera at Nancy Guthrie's front door the morning of her disappearance. The FBI said that it had not identified any suspects or persons of interest. You know, one of the big questions I have here is the family relationship and the family dynamic. I'm trying to understand why Nancy Guthrie, who was at the home of her daughter, took an Uber home. There's only 10 minutes away. Why would you send your 84-year-old mother, who has trouble walking, why would you put her in an Uber? Why not just drop her back off at her home? I don't know. Maybe the investigators have asked those questions. I don't know. The family believes Guthrie is still out there and is asking for the public's help in finding her. There was a video on social media yesterday, and Savannah Guthrie said that viewers need to report anything strange to law enforcement. We're at an hour of desperation, and we need your help. So the FBI said yesterday that they are not aware of any continued communication between the Guthrie family and the suspected kidnappers. There was like a big deadline yesterday, 5 o'clock. And that came and went. They were asking for just million, I think it's $8 or $9 million. And yeah, nobody's heard anything. Guthrie said they were willing to pay whatever they could. Did anybody else find this story just weird? That so, a lot of things are just not adding up, and I just don't get it. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So, Dylan, there was a video released, and I am not a big horror movie guy. I never have been. I don't like it. It creeps me out. I get the bad dreams. And I have to sleep with the lights on. So I don't watch these horror movies. But there's one in particular that just completely grossed me out. Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, though, Todd. That's not that scary.
No, it's like psychological thriller.
It is psychological because, I mean, he did, you know,
eat people?
Cannibal, yeah. That part of it's not great, but it's not like a jump scare. It is very psychological.
So anyway, somebody noticed that Savannah Guthrie's message in those videos that she and the siblings have been doing,
yes,
the wording was exactly the same wording that was used in Silence of the Lambs.
I noticed that.
So you
I
did.
Love that movie. But I did notice that, yeah.
So anyway, here's what Savannah said. Nancy is full of kindness and knowledge. Talk to her and you'll see. And the way she said it was just kind of weird and creepy. I'm just sharing. I'm not making accusations. I'm just saying the whole thing is weird.
Yeah. Other people have pointed that out too. A lot of people are finding this a little,
I don't know what to make of it. Sketchy, maybe?
Sketchy.
Sketchy. Yeah, I like that. That's good. That's good.
Too coincidental, maybe.
Anyway, the same words were used in the movie when a mother was speaking out to the captors of her daughter. The same language. Is that a coincidence, or is there something else going on here? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it could be that they've got their own, I don't know, Hannibal Lecter down in Tucson, Arizona. I don't know. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. It's all very strange. So anyway, that's the latest on the Savannah Guthrie case. It's all very strange, all very weird. Speaking also of very strange and very weird, Ayanna Pressley is now facing more questions. So get this. This woman, her husband, and God love him, he made some mistakes, went to prison on some drug charges, came out of prison, and now, since 2019, I think 2019, 2018, they had very little money in the bank. According to financial disclosures, Pressley's worth, are you ready for this? Pressley's worth went from $12,500 before she was elected in 2018 to $8 million in 2024. How do you think that happens? Her salary, $174,000 a year. That's how much she makes. The majority of Pressley's wealth is in real estate. She has rental properties in Boston and Edgerton, Massachusetts, among other places. She also purchased a home in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. What's up with these Democrats? You know, they're down with the people, and they've got homes in just about every state. According to her first report submitted in 2018, Presley began her time in Congress with three major debt obligations that have only grown. She owed between $610,000 and $1.2 million from the mortgages. And in her most recent reporting, Presley reported $3.2 million and $9 million in debt. Something very strange is going on there. Very strange indeed, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Danny in Selmer, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Danny. What's on your mind today?
Oh, you started off talking about the halftime show. I had something I was kind of wondering about that. I think I figured out what the crotch grabbing is about. I'm not sure, but I believe, you know, in today's day and age with all these people not knowing what gender they are and stuff, I think you're reaching down there trying to figure out, maybe trying to figure out what he is or remind himself if he's male or female or maybe trying to identify what that is. So sometimes he wears a dress, sometimes he wears pants, but maybe he reaches down there to check and find out if he's a boy or a girl.
Well, you know, it's all fluid, so you never know. I mean,
yeah,
one song.
Well, maybe it changes.
Maybe it changes.
Yeah. The other thing, you know, I mean, with the COVID vaccine and stuff,
yeah.
Maybe they've been checking into health issues there with, you know, lung and coronary and stuff, and maybe this ties into the gender misidentification and stuff, because maybe they should check and see if the COVID vaccine caused brain damage, because a lot of people seem to have lost their minds after getting the COVID vaccine, I believe.
Danny?
So maybe it's causing the... I don't know if I'm onto something or not, but maybe that's the gender thing and the COVID vaccine and all these leftists losing their minds and things. It's the COVID vaccine. So I don't know. Just wondering there. So,
well,
yep.
Danny, I tell you, you came loaded for bear today, and you may be onto something there. Danny, thank you for calling in. Danny says he's just checking to see. I had suggested that maybe he was dealing with an itch. And maybe he needed an ointment, and that could be, look, that could be so distracting. I mean, you're out there in front of millions of people dancing away and, you know, a foreign tongue, and people are doing other things with their tongues all around him there on the football field, and it can be distracting. By the way, Congressman Andy Ogles from Tennessee is now demanding congressional investigations. He says it was an absolute disgrace, and he wants Congress to No, I'm not making this up, Dylan. Don't interrupt me. Congressman Ogles is demanding that Congress probe the halftime show. He wants to know why people were dry humping. It's a fair question, I guess. I don't know, but I'm sure people have their reasons. The congressman literally demanding an investigation for what he called gay pornography during the Super Bowl halftime show. My question is, does the bumping and the grinding rise to pornography? Congressman Ogles said Bad Bunny's heavily sexualized performance was a disgrace and it mocked American families. You know, Dylan, your grandfather, my great uncle, Jerry Lee, Uncle Jerry Lee once said, the only tight ends handling balls should be on the football field and not the halftime show.
Very wise words.
Those are wise. He was a wise man.
Yes.
God rest his soul. A wise man. The congressman writing on X, depicting gay porn on primetime has no place in our culture. The Bad Bunny performance is conclusive proof that Puerto Rico should never be a state. Well, that's a bit of a stretch, don't you think, there, Congressman? We're just labeling all of them. Okay, whatever. Ogles fired off a letter to the chairman of the Committee on Energy and Commerce. That's the committee that would investigate any violations of the Federal Communications Commission Act. And there are FCC regulations governing explicit and indecent content. I know many of you are listening to this program and you're like, really? We had no idea. To be fair, ladies and gentlemen, Bad Bunny did warn Americans that his show would be a celebration of queerness. And he also threatened to wear a dress. You know, he didn't wear a dress. He said he was going to wear a dress.
What a letdown.
Probably didn't want to shave his legs. It was a little chilly there. They got the breeze.
You're right.
The breeze.
The San Francisco breeze.
You don't want the air circulating up the skirt, and you know that's
you definitely couldn't air that.
Nobody wants that. Would take care of the itch though. The congressman pointed out the program was filled with all sorts of explicit sexual references and graphic content that included, oh, I can't say those on the radio, whoops, sexual intercourse. He referenced two songs in particular. The lyrics are literally too vulgar for me to mention on the radio. And we did that yesterday. We did a dramatic reading yesterday of the, that was very well done, I thought, Dylan. The music made the whole moment.
It was classy.
Ogles also took issue with the choreography that featured overtly sexualized movements, including widespread twerking, grinding, pelvic thrust, and other sexually suggestive conduct. I can't do a pelvic thrust. It'll throw my back out. You know, you hit a certain age, you got to be careful. Got to be careful on the dance floor. Now, the entire show, ladies and gentlemen, you might remember this, was performed entirely in Spanish, so nobody knew that they were cursing out the wazoo and twerking it as well, the wazoo, not the language. But anyway, a lot of people, and many good church-going Americans, you know, that because the music was a little catchy, right? You had no idea what they were saying, but they had that little Latin vibe, that salsa music, you know, You couldn't help but tap your toe to it, but they had no idea they were tapping their toe to lyrics that would have made the people of Sodom and Gomorrah blush. Mr. Ogles, writing in his letter, the Super Bowl, consistently the largest family viewing event in American media, as such broadcasters have a heightened responsibility to ensure that programming aired during this uniquely national event complies with longstanding broadcast decency expectations and serves the public interest. Harumph, harumph, harumph. He's really getting wound up here, Congressman. So look, here's the deal. At the very least, just throwing this out there, and I'm not disparaging anybody's culture, none of that. At the very least, the NFL, they could have just put up a warning label on the TV screen. Warning, warning, two men grinding on each other coming up. You know, just letting parents know, giving them the option. So if they didn't want to see, you know, two gay men doing the nasty, that, you know, they could just have the kids go to the other room along with grandma and grandpa and the rest of the God-fearing members of the family. Ogles continues. It was a long letter. Children were forced to endure explicit displays of gay sexual acts. Really, it was just really one, and it wasn't that much, but it was enough. Women gyrating provocatively, and Bad Bunny shamelessly grabbing his crotch while dry humping the air. Good God. Congressman Ogles makes a very compelling argument here, because I'm just going to speak. This is just my truth, all right? I don't think anybody wants to see grown adults dry humping anything while you're there trying to eat your barbecue cocktail weenies at the Super Bowl party. I'm just saying. But overall, may I just put a pin in this for a moment? All that to say, and I appreciate where the congressman's coming from here. I really do. But doesn't Congress have more pressing matters they need to be attending to? Just asking. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phones. Lee in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Lee. What's on your mind today?
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. What's that congressman's name? What state? Who was he?
Andy Ogles. He represents Middle Tennessee, sort of like the Nashville, the Burbs.
Oh, my God. Thank God for him. I agree with you and that congressman 100%. I mean, we have these cities, I'm just saying, like San Francisco, the Solomon of the United States, Atlanta. the governor of the United States. We got to stop this stuff, man. It's ridiculous. Because most of the people that I talk to, they say they love the halftime show. And what you're telling me is true? That two men's up there grinding each other?
They were, yeah, they were grinding there. It was, they left very little to the imagination, Lee.
Cold-blooded.
Let me just say this. If this would have happened in a Baptist church, the Women's Missionary Union would have hauled off and slapped him upside the head with a cast iron skillet.
You're right. Just think about all the halftime shows that the NFL had, like the Brad, Alpha, Janet Jackson, how many people were so upset with that?
Nipplegate, yes. Ones.
Yeah, and they talk about the heterosexual heritage that happened, but when they come to the homework, they glorify. I can't understand. Oh, my God.
Well, Nipplegate, that was when Janet Jackson showed a little bit of boobage, and Justin Timberlake was, that was the moment that Justin Timberlake's voice changed.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly.
Heterosexual. Yeah. You know, all this is heterosexual, and a lot of people got problems with that, but when it comes to stuff like that, homosexual, oh, my God. And no outbursts about it. And they said it was great, wonderful. Man, we in for a rude awakening.
All right, Lee. Gotta run, my friend. Thank you for that. wow. All right, hang tight, everybody. Gotta take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show. Dylan, you caught any of the Olympics by any chance? Are you a Winter Olympic guy?
You know, I'm typically not, but right after the Super Bowl, they were airing some of the Olympics, and I caught a little bit of the ice skating.
One of the curlers, and I don't know how to say the guy's last name, and I really don't care. Anyway, he hates America. Take a listen to this.
First of all, I'd like to say I'm proud to be here to represent Team USA and represent our country. But we'd be remiss if we didn't at least mention what's going on in Minnesota and what a tough time it's been for everybody. This stuff is happening right around where we live. And I am a lawyer, as you know, and we have a constitution, and it allows us to freedom of the press and freedom of speech. Protects us from unreasonable searches and seizures and makes it that we have to, you know, have probable cause to be pulled over. And what's happening in Minnesota is wrong. There's no shades of gray. It's clear.
Okay, I'm done with this guy. By the way, what's going on in the background? It sounds like they're like in the kitchen and somebody's doing the dishes. It's the Olympics. A little cheap this year. Maybe they didn't have much of a budget. Look, this guy's a moron. And what bothers me here is, yeah, he's got a right to say whatever he wants to say, but you don't have a right to do that and be on Team USA. You are there representing your country, not yourself, not your point of view, not your politics, none of that. And if you can't come to terms with that, then that is on you, and you do not belong in Italy right now. And the reality is, for most of these kids who are, I mean, this guy's an attorney, but most of them, this is it for them. This is the Olympics, and then they go and they become insurance agents, or they go work the stockroom at TJ Maxx. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So, again, my issue is with the athletes and with these moron reporters who are asking these questions. That's who I've got a bigger problem with. All right, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, Josh Jones, Republican strategist. Josh, I could like see you as like, I don't know, a speed skater or a curler.
Yeah, I can't say I'm one much for the Winter Olympics. But, you know, to Dylan's point, I did watch a little bit of it after the Super Bowl. So
I wouldn't take you as a figure skater. You're not a very graceful person, but you could probably lift a girl, you know, well, not one of the large gals, but, you know, you could probably lift somebody in the air.
I will say, I went ice skating for the very first time a couple months ago. Very first time in my life, I was awful at it. So maybe I'm built for the Summer Olympics.
All right, we'll get you to, like, pole vaulting or something.
Right, right.
Or hold on, what's the one where you got a broom? Is that, it's a broom and you're, like, you're shuttling this little, what is that called, Dylan?
I don't know the official name, but that's pretty good. I like the description of that.
Or pickleball. Pickleball would be a great sport.
They are bringing pickleball, I think, actually.
Can you throw a punch? Olympics. I mean, we can get, you know, it's like a lightweight.
Look, I can do like some kind of running thing, maybe.
Oh, that's good. All right, that's good. All right, we'll pencil you in if you need sponsors. Let us know. Josh, before we, in all seriousness, when it comes to the Olympics, does that bother you that you've got these athletes? It used to not be like this. You know, people used to be so excited to play for America.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you know, everybody has the right to their opinion, their point of view on things, whether I agree with you or not, that's beyond the point. But when you're representing the country overseas, particularly at the Olympics or in that sort of capacity, this isn't meant to be a political event. This is the biggest sporting event of the world. And, you know, it happens every 2 years. You have the Winter Olympics and you have the Summer Olympics. It's not meant to be about politics. So look, like I said, you're welcome to voice your grievances in your own private capacity. But when you're elevated by a platform being on Team USA, it should be about the Olympics and the sport, not about your personal viewpoint.
Mm, well said. You know, we've been following the developments, not just out of Virginia, but now Maryland, where looks like the Democrats are going to completely eliminate all Republican congressional districts. There's only one. So that belongs to Andy Harris, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. And in your state, your home state, the Commonwealth of Virginia, what they're going to eliminate to what, all but one? Is that the plan?
Yeah. So that's what they're currently doing is right now, Virginia is fairly split down the middle. There's six Democrat representatives in the House and then five Republicans. And they're redrawing that map to be 10 Democrats and one Republican. And the governor and newly elected Governor Abigail Spanberger, who pretends to be this moderate during the campaign, is fully on board with their agenda. So that's where we're at in the process right now.
Does it have to go before voters? And if so, will that happen before the elections in November, in the midterms?
Pending a yes. So basically, right now it's being litigated in the courts whether or not this is a legal process that the House Democrats and House Senate members are pursuing. So it's in the courts right now. It's been elevated to the Virginia Supreme Court and are waiting to hear back from them. Assuming they say this is okay, it's legal, you can move forward, it will go to a referendum to Virginia voters in April. I believe the pending date is April 11th, but sometime in mid-April.
Well, it's really shocking to see how all of this is playing out. And yet the Republicans, for example, in Indiana, they're standing their ground. They refuse to do what, you know, to the Democrats, what the Democrats are doing to Republicans in Virginia.
Yeah, look, I mean, it is a political knife fight, and that's what's happening around the country right now. And clearly, particularly when it comes to Virginia, Democrats are not pulling any of their punches. I mean, they are absolutely drawing the most aggressive maps they can, essentially, to lock in this Democrat majority, all under the skies of leveling the playing field and making it fair. But really, this is just a power grab by radical leftists in Richmond who now control all three branches of the government and are using this opportunity to seize power.
I'm wondering, are you hearing any rumblings from even Democrats among the citizenry there about all of these taxes that they're handing in, or was it 50 plus taxes?
Right, yeah. It is the single largest amount of proposed tax increases in Virginia history. And to your point, Abigail Spanberger and a lot of the Democrats on the ballot this last November ran as moderates, saying, you know, we're going to go back to the middle of the road, a sense of bipartisanship, all this other stuff. And then they get in the office and they're just proposing all these tax increases. I mean, from a gym membership tax to a dog walking tax to every Amazon delivery has a new 4% tax on it. And yeah, a lot of the Democrats or people who voted Democrat in this last election, I've spoken to quite a few who have been like, this isn't what I voted for. I thought I was voting for, you know, a middle of the road bipartisan, don't rock the boat, not 50 new taxes in the first couple of weeks.
I'm curious, though, about, you know, not just Virginia, but when you look at the midterms as a whole, I'm curious to hear thoughts on Senate Majority Leader John Thune, because I genuinely don't know what is going on there. We played some audio from CNN just a little while ago. 76% of Black Americans support voter ID. 82% of Latino Americans support voter ID. And yet he is just not going to budge on getting this legislation passed through the Senate, something the House did over 300 days ago. I mean, Josh, why would the Senate Majority Leader do something like that, knowing the majority of the American people are actually on the Republican side here?
That's a good question, Todd. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward bill, all things considered. I mean, and like you mentioned, the House has already passed this, so it's on the Senate to take the action to bring it up for a floor vote. And look, maybe Thune thinks he doesn't have the votes to get it through the Senate, and that's why he doesn't want to bring it to the floor. But I'd say bring it to the floor anyways. Force a vote, force people to pick a side, and then at least you then know where people stand. Because, like you mentioned, the vast majority of Americans across all demographics support voter ID. It's just simple, common sense legislation. So the fact that the Senate isn't taking this to a floor vote right away, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either, and I'm just genuinely concerned. This may be our last chance. There is some reporting out there, I believe it was Cook, who said even the Senate may now be in play as a result of, you know, the inaction. If that happens, and again, I think that's going to be a long shot. I mean, we're looking at, what, eight possible seats. I think we're going to be fine, but still the idea that we could be in danger in the Senate, what does that tell you?
Look, I mean, the political landscape for Republicans right now is looking pretty bleak. And look, I say that as someone who works on the Republican side of the aisle in elections. And I'm not saying that as a necessary just, you know, criticism for the sake of criticism, but because I care and I want our team to do good. So look, midterms are looking rough right now. But Republicans still have time. I mean, it's only the beginning of the year. If Congress can get their act together and pass some of these key pieces of legislation and get out there and get on the campaign trail and say, look what we're doing in D.C. It's working. Rehire us to do it, you know, to keep it going for another 2 years. That could be a winning message. But look, we're in an uphill battle right now. And also, you know, some just general analysis is typically the party who owns the White House loses seats in the midterms. That typically happens. So I'm not saying, you know, it's not to be expected to a degree. But, I mean, Republicans have to be fighting tooth and nail to keep a majority. Otherwise, the next 2 years are just going to be a total stall out.
Mm. All right, Josh, we're going to leave it there. We'll let you get back to training for the summer games.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it.
All right. Good man right there, ladies and gentlemen. Josh Jones, our Republican strategist, keeping an eye on things up in Washington for us. You know, we've been talking a lot about AI and all the weird, crazy, bad things about AI. I was talking to a good friend of mine the other day. His name is Michael Youssef. Many of you know him from his church there in the Atlanta area. His national ministry, one of the most brilliant minds I know, and they are coming up with some new technology that is going to really, I think, revolutionize the way we study the Bible. It's something called My Faith Assistant. It's a Bible-based AI tool. This is the most incredible thing here, and it's pretty awesome. And I want you to get something to write down. So you can get information on how to get this. It's completely free. There is no login required, none of that. It's called MyFaithAssistant.com. MyFaithAssistant.com. Completely free. There's no login required. But this is pretty awesome. You know, a lot of Christians have tried to use online AI tools just to ask basic Bible questions. And I've tried this with ChatGPT. You get vague, misleading, and in quite frankly, in some unbiblical answers. And that is very concerning, and especially if you're trying to study your Bible and you're wanting to find some sort of an online help for you, you want something that is going to be reliable. So technology is not the problem. You've got to make sure your technology is tethered to the truth. Otherwise, you're just going to get lost, which is why Pastor Youssef and his ministry, Leading the Way, created My Faith Assistant. It's pretty cool. This is not some sort of like a generic chatbot. This is a Bible-anchored, theologically vetted tool, and it's built on scripture and seminary-level resources, so you know it's going to be great. And it's also been shaped by more than 50 years of the teaching of Dr. Youssef. And he is, again, not only is he a pastor, he is an incredible scholar, and he is also a cultural anthropologist. A lot of people may not know that about Dr. Youssef, but a brilliant mind. And every single answer you're going to find. So I encourage you to go and check it out. This thing is already going viral. So again, it is absolutely free. No login required. MyFaithAssistant.com. 50,000 people have already downloaded this and have turned it into a trusted tool for biblical clarity on a lot of the big issues of the day. So here's how it's going to help you. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. All right. You're going to get personalized guidance, like, for example, how can I share God's design for sexuality with my child? How can I get clear answers to theological questions? Where did Jesus actually claim to be God? Or you're going to be able to find a trusted teaching by topic. What does the Bible say about politics? Oh, that's a good one. You're going to get access to trained pastors and prayer teams. Connect me to a counselor, and somebody's going to be there to pray for you and pray with you and help you. You're also going to be able to deepen your Bible study experience, and that's what I'm really excited about. Every morning I have a quiet time, a Bible study time, and we're going to have Dr. Youssef on the show this week, later this week, to go in-depth and talk about how this ministry tool is really impacting lives already, and it's just now being launched. And I love this because My Faith Assistant is literally redeeming AI, which is pretty awesome. So again, I want to give the address, myfaithassistant.com. This is a groundbreaking tool, and it's redeeming AI for God's kingdom, and I love that. So check it out, myfaithassistant.com. It is completely free, no login required. There's no gotcha here. This is just a great ministry resource to help you in your Bible study time, myfaithassistant.com. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, toddstearns.com. Go and check out our website. You're going to find all sorts of great original content right there. We have a great team of writers providing content for you over at toddstearns.com. All right, let's go to Iowa. Jerry is on the line. Jerry, what's going on?
Yeah, guys, I'm noticing the Olympics and the anti-Western sentiment. They're anti-Israel. They booed when Israel walked out. They booed when J.D. Vance was on the screen, and these few woke Olympians, they join in the hate. They like the illegal aliens voting in Iowa. They disparage the efforts of our honorable ICE agents, and I just want to say I support their right to voice their disgust for American immigration enforcement, but I am embarrassed by their opinions being so anti-American. I find myself wishing someone else had their skills to represent us. I'm ashamed of them. I hate to say that. I wish they would reverse immigrate to some of these other, maybe they could go win medals for Syria or Russia or Nicaragua. I'd gladly trade them for Olympic contestants who actually honor America. And I would just like to apologize to Israel that for any pathetic, ugly Americans that booed them during the ceremonies. So I'm not proud of what they're doing, and I wish they would just stick to sports and support legal immigration like their ancestors did.
Well, it's a fair point there, Jerry. And I will say this, maybe this is a good place to end this hour of the show with. U.S. men's ice hockey team, those guys are patriots. And I want you to listen to what this one young man said when he was asked the same question everybody else has been getting.
I mean, this is being able to represent the U.S. at this stage in the Olympics is one of the greatest honors that I've ever had. So I'm truly grateful to be here representing the red, white, and blue.
I think it kind of means the world. It's really like a whirlwind of emotions flying here this morning, hanging out in the village all day, and then, you know, getting fitted for our clothes and, you know, just meeting athletes and then coming here and practicing. And now it's all like, oh my gosh, like day one's over. Like, it's kind of crazy. So really enjoying the experience so far and having a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's who we're going to be rooting for. Jerry, thank you for that. Got to run here, folks. Coming up, Florida's House Speaker Paul Renner, also Monty Fritz, running for governors. Florida, Tennessee, your calls coming up. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that is me. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Todd Starnes, America's anchorman, and great to be with you this afternoon. Hour three of the big show now underway. Our website is toddstearns.com and all sorts of great information. By the way, if you want to go back and listen to any of the interviews we've done today, all you have to do is download our podcast free of charge, absolutely no charge. Also, download our newsletter. It comes out every morning. More than 250,000 Americans now download and listen to the Todd Starnes newsletter, read the newsletter. And well over, 500,000 people now monthly download the podcast. So thank you all for hanging out with us. By the way, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on the Newsmax 2, the Todd Starnes Show, we have a jam-packed program. Congressman Randy Fine from Florida is going to join us. Also, Congressman Jim Jordan will be with us. So a lot of breaking news there. Pam Bondi getting ready to testify tomorrow. And Jim Jordan's going to give us a rundown of that. Millions, by the way, tuning to Newsmax, watching us on cable, going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters Institute says Newsmax is now one of the top news brands in the nation, and you can find out why. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes just seconds to start. And let President Trump know you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people. Well, there is a lot of political news to cover, and Florida is one of the big stories of this election cycle. And Florida, just like Tennessee, a red state, a super red state. And our next guest wants to keep it that way. He is currently the Speaker of the House in Florida. And he joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Paul Renner, Mr. Speaker, good to have you with us.
Todd, fantastic to be with you.
And you have decided to throw your hat in the ring to be the next governor of the state of Florida. Why do you want the job?
Well, we don't want to go backwards, and I actually exited as Speaker in 2024, and I helped build the Free State of Florida with Governor DeSantis. We want a fighter like him, and there's simply nobody else with the record of leadership and results than me to take our state into the next 8 years.
What are some of the big issues that you see are facing the good people there in Florida?
Well, like many people in the country, affordability, you know, cost of things have gone up far faster than incomes, whether that's property taxes, insurance, electric rates. I have a plan for all of those to lower prices and help make sure that people have more money in their pocket.
You know, one of the big things that we've been following, and I know this is a big issue for you when it comes to immigration and, you know, deporting the illegals and making sure that bad people are not wandering around preying on law-abiding American citizens.
Well, that's right. And we get asked this question, well, all this money we spend on alligator Alcatraz, and is it really worth it? My response is, the cost of free education, the cost of free health care, the cost of fentanyl and human trafficking, and both the traffickers and the trafficked, is so much greater. Illegal immigration is an enormous burden, a social cost on our country. And so getting that under control, as President Trump has done, by first of all securing the border, that is the easiest and fastest way to fix the problem and not make it any worse. But we have a lot of people that need to be removed that are dangerous to our communities and just shouldn't be here. They're not here legally. And so while we've been a model, the governor has, to support federal authorities in that effort.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because you're right. The border has been secured, and that was a very simple thing for the president to do. The bigger challenge, of course, is rounding up all the people that are here illegally, living off the hardworking American taxpayers. How do you feel about the work that ICE has been doing? And I know there's been a lot of talk, even among Republicans, about whether or not we should ease up a little bit. What say you?
Well, what I say is that leftist leaders, Tim Walz, the people, the big mayor of Minneapolis, have stoked an atmosphere that is conducive, and they know this, is conducive to creating violent moments like we've seen up there, and it's reprehensible. If I had them in Florida, if a mayor did that in Florida, I would remove them as governor in a heartbeat. And these guys need to be able to do their jobs. Here in Florida, we don't allow that kind of activity. You can protest, you can scream and shout your views. That's your First Amendment right, but we're not going to let you get in and harass law enforcement in the conduct of their legal duties.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Paul Renner wants to be the next governor of Florida, and you've got some competition there, Congressman Byron Donalds, and you've been pretty outspoken and critical of him. The headline from the Florida Phoenix, for example, Paul Renner says Byron Donalds has enriched himself in office. What do you mean by that?
Well, we file disclosures here in Florida. When he was with me in the Florida House, you know, went into Congress worth $200,000 or $300,000. His net worth has gone up 10 times in 5 years in office. And he has not done the people's business. He has a very thin record of accomplishment, no real leadership experience in his entire life. In contrast, I spent 20 years in the military, served in two wars, was a state attorney, and, of course, a very successful Speaker of the House. The governor called it the two most consequential years anytime, anywhere, in any legislature. And so you've got to have a leader and somebody who's actually, we can all say whatever we say in a campaign, but somebody who's actually delivered, shown up and delivered results. I've beaten the left multiple times. It's what drives me. There was Amendment 3 and 4, the pot and abortion amendments, where a lot of these guys, you know, made a tweet or something, but that doesn't get it done. I spent $2 million and traveled to state to stop an extreme abortion amendment. That's what leaders do. It wasn't in my requirement as speaker. That's what the governor did. People want somebody like DeSantis, and the governor said as much about the congressman, that he's never shown up for the big battles that made Florida what it is today.
You can't take stock in polls, but there is a poll out there, and people could read into it what they want to. Byron Donalds is leading with a significant lead right now. James Fishback, who I think is very concerning to a lot of conservatives out there, has some pretty good percentages as well. And then you, what is it going to take to make that leap and make this a truly competitive race for governor?
Well, it's a long game. It's a long, extended job interview for who should lead the third largest state in America, and we see the excitement at the grassroots level. The leader in the polls right now is undecided, and that needs to be said, too. For all of the time that Congressman Donalds has missed votes in Congress, he's got a terrible voting record and has been on TV trying to self-promote, he's still behind undecided. Most people don't know who's in the race, and that includes myself. And so it's really about getting out, getting on shows like yours, talking about vision. We're the only ones with a vision to bring down costs, to end sex trafficking, to stop corruption in politics and institutionalize our DOJ efforts here. We're laying out a systematic, solid, conservative agenda. I've got the character, the competence, and the courage to deliver on it, because I've proven that. You don't have to guess. I've shown up and delivered, and I'll do it again as governor.
And you also have a solid background. I mean, you're a former prosecutor. You served in the Navy. You're a Navy veteran, and you're pretty well-versed on the big issues of the day, from, you know, border control, crime, and immigration.
Well, that's right, and we did everything from universal school choice, pushing back on ESG, ending DEI programs, standing up for life with the Heartbeat Protection Act, Second Amendment, constitutional carry. The list goes on and on and on. And you mentioned protecting our children online from online pornography and addictive social media platforms. One of the leading bills, something I spent hours with constitutional lawyers to make sure, because we knew big tech lobbied up, and they did, and they said, well, we'll just beat you in court. Rather than make it more child-friendly, which they could have easily done under our bill, they've decided to sue in court to keep those kids addicted. And we know it's safer for your kid in a city park at night alone than it is on their digital device while mom and dad sleep. I led on this issue. I will protect our children. I'll protect our streets. As a former prosecutor, I take that very seriously. And again, we're going to end the victimization of children and trafficking. And this kind of stuff we've read about Jeffrey Epstein will stop in the state of Florida.
We have a lot of listeners in Florida, and they tell us one of the big problems is the property tax. It's so high. What would you do if you were governor? How would you handle that?
So a couple of different steps. And first of all, the problem. The problem is that property taxes have gone up about twice as fast as people's incomes. And fundamentally, as a conservative, we all believe that government should never grow faster than our incomes can afford. But that's what's happened. So there's this huge windfall. They have been talking in the legislature, and as I said, I termed out in 24. For all of 2025, taxes went up. 26, our taxes are going up again. And they've yet to come up with a single proposal that the governor can get on board with. And the governor's talked about eliminating homestead property taxes. I agree with him to say that once you've lived in your home for 30 years, there should be a point at which they can't take your home because you are on fixed income, you lose your job, you get sick, and you can't pay your property taxes. Ownership should mean ownership in America. And so I'm all for the bolder tax reform, but the first step can be a rollback, which was done 20 years ago. It's the one thing we can do legislatively. As a former speaker, this could be done in 2 days. And you simply roll back to whatever people paid, say, in 2024, and that benefits businesses, homestead, non-homestead, everybody gets a lowered tax bill. And let's do that, put that in place while we wait for the legislature to do its job this year. And I'm calling on them again today to stop talking and deliver results for people. We have people leaving our state because they can no longer afford to live here because of the cost of living.
Yeah, that's just not right. And I'm glad to see you guys are going to be all over that story. Real quick, before we let you go, some national news coming out of Florida. We understand driver's license test now only given in English. How do you stand on that one?
Well, I'm all for it. I mean, imagine you can't read a stop sign. The word STOP means you're supposed to stop and not go through the intersection. I mean, this is just fundamental common sense. I'm a little embarrassed we didn't realize this beforehand and do it, but the governor's done it. I applaud him for doing it. It's the same kind of common sense conservative leadership you're going to get from me. We've got to protect our citizens, and that's one clear way to do it.
Well, the former Speaker of the Florida House of Representatives joining us here on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I just want to circle back one more time to Mr. Donalds, Congressman Donalds. It is troubling when you see someone going into Congress and all of a sudden they become, you know, a multimillionaire almost overnight. We see this on the Democrat side of the aisle, and we rightly condemn it. This is very disturbing that these numbers that are coming out when it comes to the congressman.
Well, Representative Luna has a discharge petition to get after insider trading. He's one of the Florida congressmen who has not signed on to it. I've called him out for it. I support her effort. I support Ashley Moody, our senator's effort. She has an even more comprehensive bill that gets after blind trust. So it's truly, you can have, you know, mutual funds and you can invest, but you can't buy and sell stocks. And he's been on a committee that oversees those companies that he's trading stocks in. And so it's just exactly what people are disgusted about politicians left and right. We need people who are committed to service. I've spent time with leadership under pressure and positions of trust my entire life, and it's what drives me, and beating the left and preserving this beautiful state of Florida is what I'll commit to and promise people I will deliver on when I'm governor.
I love this. And the website, VoteRenner.com, that's VoteRenner.com, and you'll be able to find out all of the issues. This is what I love, and it's a Florida first. I love Florida first, Paul. Nothing wrong with that.
And nothing at all. We're focusing on the problems of Floridians. I'm not running for vice president or anything else other than to be a great governor and solve problems to make people's lives better.
All right, Paul, we'd love to get you back on. And, you know, we'll talk more about the issues and the campaign. We wish you the very best, and thanks for joining us today.
Todd, thanks. God bless you.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Renner, and he's running for governor. He's a good guy. He's one of the good guys. And it is disturbing to see the ways that Congressman Donalds has his bank accounts have grown since he's been in Congress. I do believe that this is an issue that impacts both political parties. And that's one of the reasons why we've got so many problems with Republicans backtracking and refusing to advance the president's agenda. So I'd encourage you to go check this guy out. You Florida, I know we have a lot of Florida listeners. What did you think about this guy? Paul Renner, your former Speaker of the House there in Florida, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Wow, you folks in Gainesville, Georgia, making national news yesterday. This was happening during the Todd Starnes radio show. An airplane crashed on one of the main roads in Gainesville. This was insane. We understand that the plane was managed to land, but it hit three cars on the roadway. And the two people on board actually survived the plane crash. They're in the hospital. They may have been released by now. They were not seriously injured. But this is really quite something. The plane took off from the Gainesville Airport, was heading over to Cherokee County, Georgia. The NTSB said it was a Beechcraft Bonanza. Any of you folks see all of this? I know one of our WDUN listeners had to have seen this. The airplane apparently didn't have enough power to make it to the airport. There was something wrong with the engine, and so they tried to turn back. The pilot had to make a forced landing on the road, and they were scoping out options, and that was it. And this incredibly busy roadway, they say hundreds of thousands of cars use this thing every day. This is according to WSB-TV. Anyway, the pilot, and they have all of this on the transcripts, air traffic control recordings, and you can hear the pilot sending out a warning saying, "Mayday, we're not going to make it. Please tell my wife, Molly, I love her and my parents. I love them so much." And then they made the landing. Well, the good news is he's going to be able to tell his wife that in person. I have to imagine that's going to be a mighty special Valentine's Day for the two people on board. Anyway, what a good story, and well done to the pilot. I mean, they just sort of, it was like threading a needle getting that plane, all captured on video, by the way. Just remarkable. By the way, another story out of Gainesville. You guys could be getting an ICE detention facility, and apparently there are a lot of people that are upset about this. The city of Oakwood, Georgia, says they've learned that the federal government wants to buy some property in Hall County and turn it into an ICE facility. The city manager says he was blindsided because they haven't spoken to anybody at Homeland Security or at ICE. If the plan goes through, the building will house, which is right now used, I don't know what they used to house it, but it could house 1,500 illegals. The city manager says, "We've been sidelined and steamrolled over." You know, you folks in DeSoto County or Marshall County, right in the Memphis area, you guys are dealing with the same issue where the feds are coming in and they want to be able to build an ICE detention facility in North Mississippi. You guys got a problem with that? I mean, they got to go somewhere, right? They got to house the illegals somewhere. We'll take your calls on that, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Monty Fritz. He's a Republican state lawmaker in Tennessee, and he wants to be the next governor of the Volunteer State. He is crisscrossing the state, and he is a rock-solid Republican, so we'll have a fun conversation with Mr. Fritz coming up in just a few moments. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, we're getting some numbers in finally from the Super Bowl. It turns out that 48.6 million U.S. households tuned in to watch the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 60. That was a 13% decrease from last year's game. Dylan, are you ready for this? Drum roll, please. Okay, we got to up our,
I don't have a drum
we got to up our sound effects game
I'll
here.
Find one.
So here we go. Halftime. Only 26.5 million households watched Bad Bunny's halftime show. That's down 39% from Kendrick Lamar's 2025 show. And what's really fascinating here is that most of those people went over and watched the Turning Point USA halftime show.
Wow. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
They lost almost half their audience. That's wow. All right. Muy loco, if you ask me. Muy loco. All right, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend. He is State Representative Monty Fritz from Tennessee, running to be the next governor. Monty, good to have you with us. Did you watch the Bad Bunny halftime show, Monty?
No, sir. I don't want to watch that trash. I love football, but to be honest with you, Todd, I'm so busy now, I have to be reading or answering email in most of my spare time, so... I didn't watch any of the game.
Well, no, it's understandable. I understand because you're a man on a mission. This is the headline from the Tennessee Lookout from back in September of last year. East Tennessee Republican runs for governor to topple the Nashville establishment. Did they get it right? Is that what you're doing?
It is. Yes, sir. I think that there's a Nashville establishment, a bureaucratic establishment here that thinks that politicians and bureaucrats that think that they get to pick who the next governor is and that folks like me should not apply and that we should just stay home and let those professional politicians deal with
it. Now, it's important for the national audience to know that Nashville, and in other words, Tennessee, Nashville's the state capital, Tennessee is controlled by a supermajority of Republicans. They control everything. Senator Marsha Blackburn is running for governor. Congressman John Rose is running for governor, and you are as well. Now, there was an unofficial, unscientific Facebook poll. There were two of them that came out, and people were just asked to vote. Who are you going to vote for? I mean, that was pretty much it. And I thought it was interesting. KWAM had one on their Facebook page. Marsha Blackburn got 36% of the vote. John Rose got 4%, and you, sir, got 60% of the vote in that poll. 2,100 people have so far voted in that poll. What do you make of that number?
Well, thank God, and thank God for those. Winning this thing is going to be a miracle. And I think that people are tired of career politicians. I'm so flattered and humbled and makes me smile, warms my heart that people would pick my name on there. I said this morning, I was talking to somebody, based on the message and the content and message in our Liberty and Less Government campaign compared to what the other two are putting out, it should have been 90 for it, 5 for each of the others. So I've got some work to do. I've got some catching up to do. I have to work a little bit harder.
Now, there's a fellow who listens to KWAM, and he's very active in the VFW there, Justin Johnson. He is a conservative activist, I would say, here in the area. And he posted a poll as well. Nearly 3,000 people, it's 2,999 people have voted in his poll. And right now, you're leading 55%, Marsha Blackburn 37%, John Rose 8%. What is the message that you think, and again, this is a Facebook poll, so you can take it for whatever it's worth, but what do you think is the message here that's resonating with voters?
I think keeping more money in your pocket, stop sending so many dollars to Nashville and taxes and collections. Our budget has grown like crazy in the last 6 years. I just left a committee where a bill to remove a double taxation on non-plug-in hybrid vehicles went down because the governor's staff and the Department of Transportation said, we need to keep your money. And of course, you know this, Todd, they put like an almost $10 million fiscal note on it. And they look at it, the bureaucracy looks at it as we need that $10 million. What they're not seeing is that's $10 million of Tennesseans' money that they're being double taxed. Not only are they paying for 26 cents a gallon on fuel, but they're also paying $100 for a registration fee just because they made a good decision and drive a hybrid car, a non-plug-in hybrid. We certainly ought to, you know, the folks who drive electric vehicles ought to contribute to the infrastructure just like those of us who buy, purchase and drive gasoline and diesel. But I think that's indicative of there's an out-of-touchness in Nashville. There's a box seat mentality that you have to be. I've had it said to me that, well, Monty doesn't have enough experience. What? I spent a long time in nuclear manufacturing. I understand complex operations pretty well. Have a few degrees to help with that. But it's almost as if some of the Nashville establishment, not those two good people that happen to be running, both good people, but the Nashville establishment thinks, well, we need a seasoned career politician. I think most of America is sick of seasoned career politicians. I think seasoned career politicians either are opposing what President Trump's trying to do when he does something good, or they're using his name a lot and really don't support him. And I think people are sick of that. I think that makes me an attractive candidate, because while I will say some things that just shock people and some won't vote for me because I'm honest, I think there's a lot of people that just want to hear someone speak and say exactly what they think is the solution. And I try to do that, Todd.
You know, you got elected in 2022 to the House of Representatives. You represent District 32 in Tennessee. Is there any legislation that you've introduced that you're proud of? What would you say is your proudest moment there in the State House?
Well, I think we've led the nation in several areas with legislation that we've been able to carry and pass, and through God's grace, our prayer resolution was a big thing for us. First time in the history that a state's done, the legislative body has done that, to call the state to prayer and fasting, seeking God's blessing for those who are physically able and spiritually inclined. Our geoengineering, we led the nation on that. Illegals, we led the nation on putting harsh penalties on illegals so they would not come to Tennessee. If you commit a violent crime in Tennessee, you can face life in prison with no parole. That was my legislation. We led the nation in trying to send a brigade-sized force of Tennesseans to help Texas repel the invasion. We see what the illegals are doing to us today. You know, you see the reports and what's happening in America. We have to stand hard on this thing. We protected marriage in Tennessee. After Obergefell, federal government didn't do anything. So in Tennessee, a man cannot be required to solemnize a marriage. You can't be performed to perform a marriage. We set up an energy policy my first year in, and the second year we restructured the State Energy Policy Council because I want to get to a more open kilowatt economy so that we're not behind the curve, and we are behind the curve right now in generating kilowatts. I understand TVA is about to make some good decisions that are coming, but we've been making some really bad decisions, and Tennessee needs to be engaged and not relegate all our decisions about that most vital commodity, which right now is the kilowatt, I think, and the infrastructure to support it. We've been relegating that decision to bureaucrats in D.C., and it's not worked out well for us. Thankfully, we're headed a different direction.
So, Monty, I know that Senator Blackburn has said that Tennessee, and she wants to ensure that Tennessee is America's conservative leader. What would you say, again, I mean, name recognition, I think everybody in the state knows Marsha Blackburn. I don't think anybody knows John Rose, to be perfectly honest about it. He's a very nice person. All of you guys are very nice individuals. And for the sake of full disclosure, I have already endorsed Marsha Blackburn, but I want to give all of the candidates a voice and a fair platform. What is it, why is it that people are going to be better off with you in the governor's mansion as opposed to John Rose or Marsha Blackburn?
Well, it is a liberty-less government thing. I have a voting record that indicates, if you look at the freedomindex.org assessment of my constitutionality of voting, I was 100% last year. Both of them were in the 60s. I have a lifetime average of 94. They have lifetime averages in the 60s or 70s. I have advocated for smaller budgets in Tennessee, and they both have been part of sending, I think Congressman Rose sent, voted to send $5 billion to refugee welfare. I just can't get that. Everywhere I talk to people, it's like we don't want any more foreign refugees in America. We're at a supersaturation point. We're at a point where we need to be not only deporting the illegals, but stopping the H-1B visas and maybe even pausing legal immigration for a while until we get our culture back. I'm a I'm a gun rights person. I stood up for that. We've introduced legislation that makes Tennessee, according to the Gun Owners of America, the best state in the nation to manufacture and sell firearms and ammunition. And while the others might say they're Second Amendment supporters, I haven't seen any legislation to support it. It's kind of this, Todd, and I offer this with some pun. You show me yours, I'll show you mine. When it comes to the legislation, we have walked it like we've talked it in House District 32, led the state in many regards, led the United States in many regards in legislation we've offered. And I just haven't seen that. I've seen lots of lip service from career politicians, but I haven't seen them put their money where their mouth is and stand up for the rights of the Tennessee.
All right. Monty Fritz, ladies and gentlemen, running to be the next governor of Tennessee, one of the most conservative states in the nation and one of the most important conservative states in the nation. Monty, where can people go if they want to get more information about your campaign?
Fritz, F-R-I-T-T-S, the number 4TN.com, or you can follow me on Twitter or X, Facebook, Instagram. We're on all the social media platforms. I think I know we have something going on TikTok. I can't spell TikTok, Todd, but we do have something going on TikTok. And I would just offer this, based on your comment. We can't let Tennessee fall. We can't allow the establishment politic to keep driving us toward bigger budgets and more infringement on people's rights. Let's, just as I have led in legislation, the entire nation, let's put a combat veteran in the governor's seat. It's been a while since we've had it. Let somebody who has led troops in battle, let him lead the state, and let's lead toward liberty, and let's go.
All right. Monty Fritz, always good hearing from you, Monty, and we'll get you back on between now and the primary, no doubt about that. Monty Fritz, ladies and gentlemen, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, you say, Todd, why are we talking about Florida? Why are we talking about Tennessee? Because those are very important states, and we've got to make sure that Republicans are making the right decisions when it comes to their vote on Election Day. And I say that because of a situation that's happening really right outside of Charlotte, where you have a woman, her name is Kate Barr. She's a lifelong Democrat, and she is running as a Republican. She's intentionally trying to subvert the vote in North Carolina. I want you to take a listen to this. Cut 11.
I'm not a real Republican. Like, I am telling people the truth. I knock on a door and I say I'm running in the Republican primary, but I'm not a Republican. I'm a progressive. I'm running as a Republican in the Republican primary for Congressional District 14, mm-hmm. because that is where the actual competition happens in our gerrymandered district. It happens in the primaries. Like, if you're in a district that is a lock for Democrats, that Democratic primary mm-hmm. is where the competition is. And quite frankly, while the can't win strategy is about building for the long term and like building our bench and being ready for fair maps in 2030, we got to win right now
sure.
because we are in an emergency, like a Democratic emergency. And so the place I can win is as a fake Republican.
And she's going to do it. She is going to challenge Congressman Tim Moore for his seat in the suburbs of Charlotte. This is a solid Republican district, according to Cook Political Report. But she is waging a very serious bid, and she wants candidates and other gerrymandered states to adopt her strategy. And here's the challenge. She could have a fighting chance because Republicans, as they have demonstrated over the past year, are not getting out and they're not voting. And when that happens, very bad things happen. You folks in Texas in the ninth Senate district, you know all about that now. You've got a Democrat there. All you folks in Virginia, you know all about that. Your Republicans have been pretty much wiped out. Same thing in New Jersey. So we've had races in Georgia where the Democrats won. So all that to say, you got to pay attention. You've got to make sure you understand who the candidates are. And just because there is an R behind their name does not necessarily mean they are, in fact, a Republican. They'll be a fake Republican. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right. Don't forget tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, we're going to have a jam-packed show on Newsmax. Jim Jordan's going to drop by. Also, Congressman Randy Fine and our ladies panel. We're trying to come up with a clever – we got to come up with a clever name for that panel. Mary Walter is going to join us along with Kay Smythe. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to be talking about – this is crazy, Dylan, but apparently now there are zoos that will allow you to name – animal dung after your ex.
For Valentine's Day.
For Valentine's Day.
This, I love that they're doing this.
It's like right around the corner. This is going to be a lot of fun. So also, you can name roaches, rats, and cat poop. This is at the Bronx Zoo in New York City.
My only question is, can I choose which animal the poop is named after? Like, can I choose the elephant?
Oh, that's a good question.
For the hippopotamus.
Mm-hmm. And it's also meant for ghosters.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Which is sort of like a new thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, you reach out to someone and they don't ever text you back or call you back. It's been around.
Yeah. So this is the Bronx Zoo. You can name a Madagascar hissing cockroach after a lover or a loather, or if you've suffered emotional trauma. But it's not free. It's going to set you back $15.
That's not too bad.
No, but you can buy a Chick-fil-A sandwich worth $15.
Well, you can also buy a Madagascar cockroach.
Or that, too. The classic package, I love there's a classic package, comes with a digital certificate proving your chosen name will live on in roach immortality. Because, you know, the roaches are the only things that are going to outlast us, especially if there's like, nuclear war, God forbid.
Yeah.
The cockroaches will be with us.
They'll be with us, and they'll be like 10 times bigger than everything. They'll grow.
A coffee shop near a high school in Los Angeles is in hot water. Turns out they thought it was a coffee shop, but Dylan, it turned out that the DD Cafe was actually a strip club.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That would be surprising on 6 a.m. in the morning.
Fox
in your coffee.
Fox 11 did an undercover investigation, and they found that the women wore very little clothing, gave lap dances, and allowed customers to bring in booze for an additional charge. Yeah, that does not sound like Starbucks.
Is this counterproductive? How are you during the daytime? I mean, that's typically not when you want to go to a strip club, right?
It depends on what kind of a day you've been having.
I guess so. Maybe they have the blackout curtains.
If you work,
simulate night.
If you work the overnight shift, you know, that's...
Very specific customers.
And you don't want to watch The Price is Right. 17 people arrested.
Oh, my God.
It's a busy coffee shop.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess the police knew something was up when people, their lattes were being frothed. And I don't think it was the coffee. All right, we've got to leave it there, everybody. That's weird. We'll be back tomorrow, 12 noon, noon o'clock. We will see you on the radio. Tonight, 5 o'clock, we will see you on Newsmax 2. Get out there. Have a great one, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Show.